We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Light Years Radio. Andy Liu, today I really have to put in work to see this game. That's all I'm going to say. I have been without internet for 10 hours. I had to go out in the rain and find a place in town that would show the game that had even any sort of function. You are recording on your end tonight. I'm on one bar, cellular. I apologize to people if the connection is below par relative, but this is too big a game for us not to podcast and try to fight through it. The Warriors are 9-1, and sources tell me a certain host may have won an internet bet with the 9-1 start.
This was a championship game, apparently. This was a game that, according to the timeline, damn near like the NBA Finals, Sam. And you know what? You know what? I'm not even going to talk about the game right now. I'm going to bring on a special guest. Let's kick this off the right way. Can you hear us? Can you speak? Are you ready?
I am here.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
Uh-oh. Oh, you are alive. You're alive. I'm surprised you're alive.
With the Jordan Poole picture. Wow. This is an attempt at kind of endearing yourself to the fan base. I respect it while also having a bunch of disdain for it.
You have disdain for it. Why? Because it's working.
I'm not a fan of the pandering, but yes. What's up?
Well, first and foremost, the Jordan Poole photo became my avi because it was just in my mentions all the time. It was like Jordan Poole sliding in. Warriors are at, you know, 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. So along the way, I've seen that Jordan Poole photo a lot. And you know what? That's kind of the face and the feeling I have. You know, wasn't it fitting for Steph to go just nuclear too on game 10?
By the way, this is friend of the show, Trista Crick, by the way. So she's joining in after the hectic last couple of days that she's had. I mean, this is what we're built here to do. I honestly, Trista, by the way, I didn't actually know that you saw that tweet until you actually posted it. And I was like, oh, this is funny, because I kind of threw it out there kind of willy-nilly. And then the games keep going. Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm a fucking genius. And I can't complain. By the way, I also saw that you tweeted that Warriors fans were the best at NBA. I mean, you talk about pandering, Sam. I mean, come on. She's not even shameless. Yeah. Completely shameless.
What I need to know from Trista is, at what point did she realize, uh-oh, gonna have to walk this one back? Was it like 5-1, 6-1? Like, what are we talking about? Was it opening that against the Lakers?
It was sharp. I think it was no, because the Lakers, we've known, are pretty fraudulent as a team.
There we go.
Yeah, we've more known pandering. That. We've known that. But I think the Clipper win was a little uh-oh. but also a tough win. And then really the nail was in the coffin against Charlotte. That was the nail in the coffin where I was like, yeah, I don't know that the math here is gonna.
That's what I realized the numbers weren't in your favor anymore.
The math does not appear. I was holding up out hope for 8-2 tonight. Big Trae Young performance, and the third quarter Warriors just can't stop, won't stop. I don't think I saw Atlanta Hawks score a bucket in the third quarter. Like, I was looking intently for a bucket and I did not see one.
I did hear that Steph saw the tweets and decided to go out there and drop 50. Another friend of the show, Brian Barr, told us that he indeed did do this for me. So just, it's not your fault.
Is that true?
I'm like,
is that true?
I'm like half joking.
Did you not hear him yell, "Not tonight, Trista," when he threw that alley-oop to Damian Lee?
No, I didn't. I'd love Karis to go on and ask him in the post game, like, "Hey, did you see that annoying girl on TikTok that's always talking shit about everyone? Did you see that TikTok she had about you guys not going 9-1? And did Andy Lou save the dynasty? Did Andy Lou, is this the 73-9 Warriors? Like, are we watching that?
I mean, the timeline fucking hates you. I don't even know how you deal with it. It's amazing. I don't know how you laugh through it. It's special stuff. It's thick skin. If some of the Warriors coaches had this type of thick skin, you know, they would have won more games last season. Who knows? It's
Yeah, if they were chasing wins, then maybe they would have gotten those wins. Silly me for thinking that if the roster only barely changes, that the outcome will change significantly. And it appears that Andre Iguodala was basically cryogenically freezing himself in Miami, whatever the opposite of a cryogenic freezer is, and was just basically playing possum for 2 years. He looks very fresh. Let's just say that.
He's him and LeBron are on the good stuff. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, man. I'm like, what is going on? No Bazemore, no Oubre. You know, Oubre thinking he's the second coming of Kevin Durant. Losing him really helped out the team. And Wiseman, of course, has not come back to sabotage the squad yet. So
relax on the Wiseman stuff. We don't slander people who can't drink legally.
I'm trying to remember more receipts. We remember the Dame stuff. We've been on your pod a few times, the Dame and Steph stuff. We don't forget that. But this is a good night for Warriors fans. I feel like delusional is a good way to put it, but delusional also is what happens when you've got three titles in a dynasty. I mean, it feels great.
Yeah, it's like the epitome of trust the process, right? Like, you literally, when you have three titles, you have to just believe that Joe Lacob and Bob Myers are light years ahead of the rest of the league, regardless of, you know, being in the lottery, worst team in the NBA, missing the playoffs.
Hey, at least this process hasn't led to an ugly mental health dispute. So, you know,
that's true. Or a GM being fired for a hostile work environment, which is what's happening in my neck of the woods.
By the way, also in Philly, but yeah.
also in Philly, two things that are Philly and Portland related. No, I think that the Warriors fan base is actually my favorite fan base because they are allowing me to have fun with this, where Philly actually just will not. They will not give it up. They will not admit. They will not play around. They're very cantankerous human beings. I mean, it is, though, Philadelphia, which is maybe the worst city in America. So hard to be happy when you're living in Philly.
Yeah. Well, enough about Philly. they can go whine about their own team on another show.
Exactly. No, exactly. So, yeah, no, it appears that I was wrong. Honestly, 9-1, it happened. The 9-1 is done. It is sealed in history. I just have to say, you're welcome.
We thank you here. Before we get you out of here, we got to ask, which Warrior player do you feel like you owe the largest apology to?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Is it Gary Payton II? Is it Jordan Poole? Is it Steph Curry? I mean, there's so many. Is it Kayvon Looney? Were you not appreciating the screens he's been setting?
You know, I think the largest apology probably goes to Andre. It's close. It's either Jordan Poole or Andre Iguodala. I legitimately, despite knowing people who are close to Dre, I didn't think he had much left in the tank to be meaningful. That was a lie. And Jordan Poole, you know, he's pretty erratic. He can be very wild, but he might just mess around and win most improved player. He has been very good. And honestly, I think it's really just the whole roster as a whole. You know what I mean? Like, they're playing like a team, and, you know, there's no, I was looking down outside of Steph going nuclear, just everyone's contributing. So I think it's a collective, I'm sorry.
Appreciate it, Trista. Thanks for stopping by.
See you guys.
Golden State Warriors basketball is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Warriors tickets anymore, because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. TickPick got rid of all the awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best price on all of their NBA tickets. If you don't believe it, if you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will actually give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. I actually did that for the San Francisco Giants game against the LA Dodgers game one, compared it to another site that I usually use. TickPick was actually cheaper. So there you go. But make sure you go to TickPick for all your Warriors tickets games this season. Visit TickPick.com today to save $10 on your first order of Golden State Warriors tickets. Again, it's TickPick.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We appreciate Trista for coming on. I hope you guys all caught that. So I feel like the Atlanta Hawks wanted this game. I feel like let's start there. The Hawks are a good team, even if their record is not good. They definitely came out and they punched the Warriors in the mouth midway through the first quarter, and really felt like it was the Hawks game to lose for like a good 20 minutes there. And the way the Warriors responded to that, particularly Steph Curry, I think that was the most impressive thing they've done all season, because Lakers, I'm not sure, good. The Clippers, they got up big on. And since then, they've played largely teams who I would say outside of Memphis are not particularly good. Tonight was like the first time they played a team where they felt down against a good team and they coherently came back. And honestly, Steph was just like,
yep,
it's not happening. You know, we'll play defense and I'll take over on offense.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those games where Steph is the MVP and he's the best fucking player in the world. They looked so out of sorts in the first half. I mean, it was one of those games where I thought, Sam, they were just going to get blown out. We've seen this team get blown out before with this core. And sometimes you just see them say, hey, we're done here. We're not defending these guys. We're also not scoring against these guys. It's not like they're a great defense. And Steph said, nah, I'm good, right? He basically said, this is a team that made the Eastern Conference Finals. They're good. Like you said, they have a good offense. They're a good team. And Steph just laid them to waste. I mean, by the end of the game, if you want to compare it to a boxing match, by the end of the game, the team was tapping out. I mean, the Hawks, Kevin Huerter was so scared out on the floor at the end of the game. Trae Young looked like he was 23 years old by the end of the game. This Hawks team looked like they did not deserve to be on the same floor as these guys. And Sam, that's the thing I want to say. Doesn't that remind you of 2014-15? Doesn't that remind you of 73-9? It does.
It does. That's the thing that's wild to me. It's like they've had that vibe going all year, and part of me has been measured. Like, come on. They don't have that kind of talent. But they might not need that kind of talent when you have Steph Curry at 33 as like the sage veteran who, I mean, let's be real. Steph is a lot better than he was in 2015. And then guys like Draymond and Iguodala, like the only thing that are stopping them from playing at that level is if they're physically off, right? And they're currently in amazing shape and they don't look hurt and all those things matter. Draymond is playing phenomenal basketball. Iguodala, honestly, I thought Andre would be really good for this team. I didn't think Andre would go 2015 on this team. And that's really what it comes down to. If those three guys are healthy and playing at this level, like some nights it's Damian Lee, some nights it's Gary Payton II, some nights it's Jordan Poole. Tonight, actually, I'd say all three of them made like significant contributions. Some nights it's Wiggins, doesn't matter. Some nights it's Bielitsa. Like, as when you have guys that talented playing at that level, like they can fill in around them.
Now, I want to also note, I mean, that first half defensively, they were shredded, but they came out in the second half and Andrew Wiggins had some huge plays against Trae Young there to start the third quarter that really told you, hey, they're not going to get pushed around the second half. And that to me showed that this team, they're the number one defense in the NBA and they played some bad teams so far, but they're still the number one defense in the NBA. They showed me that they can defend in that playoff setting because the Hawks are a playoff team. And that's what you're looking to see out of this team before Klay Thompson comes back. Because once Klay comes back and he can play 6 months, he's going to give you high-level defense. If the rest of the team can do the same thing, Sam, they're playing Gary Payton, who's an excellent defender. He was good on Trae Young after getting torched in the first half. Juan Toscano-Anderson, after struggling the first few games of the season, has been very good. Hit a couple huge threes there at the end.
By the way, I want to say for him, as long as he hits shots, because if he hits shots, I think everything falls in line for him. It's that simple.
Yep. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I actually think it's more meaningful that this team went down 15 points because we haven't actually seen them have one of those games where someone, you know, quote unquote, punches them in the mouth. Like they haven't actually felt a game where an opposing team is like, I'm going to control this and you can't do anything about it for 10 to 15 minutes. And watching them respond to it, like that meant more in terms of how I feel about this team than any of the last eight games.
Yep. And here's another thing that's the playoff stuff that you don't see a lot of guys have last season. I keep saying this every podcast, but we saw the Warriors team last season when they had to go through when they had to go through tough times. We saw Kelly Oubre, we saw Cam Bazemore, we saw those guys. And they were playing hard. It's not that they didn't play hard, but they were not playing smart. And they were a team that would make mistakes all day, and they wouldn't correct them. That's the thing. We watched 80 games of them, 70-plus games of them make the same mistakes repeatedly. And this team this season reminds you of that old team where they'll make mistakes for a half, Sam. But in that third quarter, like the Warriors they used adjust. To do, in that third quarter, they adjust, and they blow the Hawks the fuck out. Right. And that's what we're used to seeing from the Warriors when they were a championship level team. One more thing I want to point out. Steve Kerr, did you see him? He put Steph on the bench for 2 minutes in the third quarter. I think it's great. I think it looks great because I think it gives Steph more legs, more conditioning. Steph's 33. He's still in great shape. But if you give him 2 minutes of rest in the middle of the quarter, it gives him better energy to close the quarter and essentially blow him out at the beginning of the fourth. I thought it was an incredible sub, Sam. I don't know how you feel, but I thought stuff like that is like pure peak Steve 1.0. Not only do I look great tonight because of the tweet,
but also everything that we've said about the coaching staff and what they should do. They look great. They're listening to the 2.0. Pod. They're listening to the pod. We know that.
Bruce Frazier is taking notes from the pod and bringing to the coaches meeting.
No, what I was going to say is I like that Steph's adjusting to it, because like we know Steph doesn't like it. We know Steph wants to play 12 minutes in a row and like float and feel his way through the game. And I think the one thing that really helps when you pull Steph out, it's more of like 4 minute bursts instead of, you know, like 12 minute bursts, is it forces him to play with more urgency. It forces him to come in the game and like be like, no, bro,
right,
ball, my hands, force, instead of like, I don't want to be critical of Steph, but like if there is one criticism of him is like the dude can float out of the game for way too long for a player of his caliber. Right. And I think that is something that the quick subs and getting a couple minutes here, it forces him to really assert himself into the game when he comes into it in a way that he hasn't had to do in the past. And ultimately, anytime Steph has to assert himself into the game, it's good. Like in general, most of the Warriors' problems go away if Steph is just aggressive.
I mean, like we talk about this game, the defense and all that, but at the end of the day, you know what the Hawks are rattled by? The same dude that we saw the Denver Nuggets rattled by, right?
Number 30,
we watched that team get shook and torn, right? Repeatedly. The Cavs, the Rockets, the Thunder. I mean, you name it. Every single team in the NBA for years. You know what? You know what would happen? It wasn't KD. It wasn't Klay. It wasn't Draymond. Those guys were demotivated, and they were the ones that were shook when it's Steph Curry coming at you, and he's about to go for 30 in like 20 minutes because he can, and then the game is over. Steph's 30 points hits way more different than the other guy's 30 points. There's just, I tweeted this at the end of the game. There's just another, there's never going to be another scorer like this guy. 50 points and 28 shots, Sam, and 9 for 19 from the free throw line. And it's not like he shot 30 fucking free throws or foul baiting, right? We watched a lot of these guys in the NBA this year, Dame, Harden, all these guys where they're just not able to score anymore because of the rules. And you watch Steph and he's better. He's better despite the fact that they're not calling fouls. How crazy is that?
Yeah, it's and you know why it is. It's because you've played basketball. There's nothing more frustrating than the dude who hits a shot over you playing good defense. And Steph does that at a higher clip than anyone in the NBA maybe ever.
And it's just the most frustrating thing ever because it's like, you know, when KD hits a 15-footer, like it feels inevitable. When you get up on Steph, and he's still like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do whatever I feel like it. It hurt. It demoralizes you a lot more. It has a different psychological effect. That's all I'm going to say. It like it messes does. With you in a different way. All right, so we get to the goons?
We'll get to the goons. We'll never see someone like Steph. We'll never see someone like Steph ever again. The closest to it is, actually,
I was going to say, you can even see guys like Trae Young trying to do that, where they like, try to take the hero ball shots to try to like prove that they can demoralize you that way, but it just doesn't have the same effect as someone who's done
can we talk
10 years on you like that.
Can we talk about that for a second? Actually, it's a great point because I'm watching Trae Young and he came out of college and he was kind of a comparison for Steph. Nowadays everybody's compared to Steph, but back then he was kind of the first guy. And you watch him play and you're like, you can see the Steph stuff. He can shoot the three off the dribble, but that's really about it. They play a game where, I'm going to be honest, Trae Young plays a boring basketball game. Like, he doesn't play something where kids around the world are saying, like, I want to be Steph Curry. You know what I mean? Like, how Kobe played a game where people are like, Kobe, when you shoot it in the trash can. Like, Steph plays a type of game that'll resonate forever. Like, Trae Young is not like that at all. He's more mechanical. He's a little bit of a foul baiter. Actually, he's a foul baiter. He doesn't play with that same type of panache. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. Steph has some type of flair that none of these guys ever have. None of these guys will ever have. And I think maybe the closest offensively that we've ever seen to that is who? Sam, I don't know. You've watched Jordan play. Maybe that's a guy out. Like I just, in my 20 years of watching hoops, you've never seen anything like it. Just that type of scoring and fun and entertainment. Nothing. Nobody. All right, let's get some speakers on. Great game tonight. Let's get, I'm going to go by order of who clocked in, I think.
Mike Mekas. I mean, geez, I am praying that this works. Let's keep it moving.
I'm sorry. I just saw Anthony Davis airball a go-ahead three for the Lakers. And then they fouled LaMelo on the rebound. So I think the Lakers are about to be down with 1 second left. I mean, they were up so big. I mean, the night's getting better and better. That was incredible. Wow. Fuck the Lakers.
Hey, Disney.
I guess my question
is... Disney.
Yeah, hey, Disney. Hey, Disney. Fucking the man of glass. The glass man, but whatever. Great game. A lot of fun. I only caught the second half. It was awesome. I guess my question is... Who do we like more? Because last year, JTA became kind of a fan favorite. Like, really, every time he came on the floor, loved him. But I think I'm loving this GP2 emergence as, like, kind of a big fan favorite. Are we enjoying the current GP2 run more or 2020 JTA in a year where there was a lot of low IQ, dumb players? It felt like he was always a bright spot. But GP2 seems like a bright spot every time he's on the floor. Which one are we taking as a fan base?
I think the story from G – I think both guys have a great story. The JTA story might be better. Just I think because he – I mean, both guys are older guys that had to fight their way to get an NBA, right? And so I think, like, part of that is part of the great story. They both have Oakland ties. But, you know, I think the GP2 stuff story has a chance to be better. Right now I really enjoy the JTA one just because he was on the team multiple times. He was playing in pro-am games. Like, my friends remember watching him at Kezar. Cooking for like 30 points. So he really came out from really being no one. But GP2, he might be a better player. He might just end up being much, much better. Like, he might be playing playoff minutes on a team that could win a championship. And I don't know if JTA is that guy. Either way, though, what a find by Kirk Lake up in the front office. Just incredible move.
The bench has been so much fun to watch this year. It's just grateful that we get to watch a bench not full of idiots again. Lakers Hornets going into OT. Let's all pray for a fucking Lakers loss. Go Dubs, go boys. 9-1. Andy Lou saving the dynasty. Have a good one, guys.
I appreciate you, brother. Oh man. All right. Let me see if I can do next one here. Let's get OZ on. It's been a while since I've heard from OZ.
What's up, guys?
Taking like half of the listener option zero. Can you hear me, brother?
What's up, man? No, I've been taking a more baseball approach where you just check in every week instead of watching every single game and like tweeting a million times about it because it's too much energy, man. I'm too old for this shit.
Right.
But no,
that's fair.
It's almost like a decade since Steph has been doing this. And in the beginning, we thought we understood, oh, he just shoots from three really, really, really deep. And that's how it's spacing. It's all about spacing. But I don't think all the spacing stats and all that shit fully measures the effect that Steph has and that what separates him from the Kyries and the Dames and the Trays. It's the energy, man, because he brings chaos. And I know Fitz has all these different mannerisms for explaining it, but really, man, he just makes other teams nervous. And if you look at the teams that gave us the most trouble, 2015, LeBron, KD, Kawhi, they were not rattled by Steph running around and like hitting a couple shots in a row and pump faking and making all these crazy plays. They just played through it. But teams like right now, they do not know how to keep up with Steph doing crazy shit because they try to keep up with them. So even on defense, we get an advantage because they feel like they need to keep up with Steph and be perfect. And as a result, every pass is off by a little bit. Every shot is off by just it's rushed a little bit. And then, you know, that just creates more energy for our team, even though we don't necessarily have like really, really, really great defenders at every single spot all the time. They just hustle and Steph makes everyone else on the other team more nervous. And that's like, it's like half a step in football can get you like a big advantage here. Man, Steph just puts everyone on their back foot all the time and you're done. Cause
God, this is the happiest I've heard you, OZ. This is the happiest I've heard you in years. I want to hear your thoughts overall on the season. What you got for us overall on the season?
It's been like preseason because we've been like beating the shit out of teams that have what? No Zion, no Ingram.
Right.
Like, what the fuck is this? But this was a game I wanted to watch because they had actual talent. And then first, I think it does two things, right? Number one, Steph is Steph. We've been saying this for how long? Like, this is why you win now because Steph is Steph. And you can't ever let something this special go. And if you do, you don't appreciate him. And number two, the first half shows why you need another shot creator because nobody besides Steph was stepping up. And you kind of could use like a 6'10", you know, second in the DPOY voting kind of guy. If his head's on right, you could probably use a guy like that when they're posting up Gallo, and you know, even two way wigs can't stop him. You might want another defender, but no, I'm happy because Steph's reminding everybody, hey, yeah, those other dudes, they can't do what I do. And I think like we don't understand. We have not created the tools to measure how good Steph is. I know Haberstroh was saying in 2013, Steph should shoot 10 threes, and we thought he was crazy, right? Do you remember that? I remember watching like the low post pod, and Zach Lowe was like, are you sure he should take 10 threes? Now it's like, if he doesn't take 10 threes, like, what the fuck are you doing? So I think even like years from now, we will still not be able to understand the psychological impact that Steph has just by running around so hard, even when he doesn't have the ball. All five, you cannot defend Steph unless all five defenders are on the same page and like willing to put in the work. And in the regular season, and especially these days with like the way teams are put together, they cannot keep up with Steph, and he's been doing this for years. He will run harder than everyone else. He has the ball or not, he will just keep cutting, and he'll give it up and get it back. And I don't see Dame or Kyrie or Russ or Trey doing that consistently all the time, every game, no matter what. And that's what when he runs, everybody else runs. And I think the game turned. I'm going to go micro. The game turned because we pushed the pace even after made buckets. And this Atlanta defense does not rotate weak side like quick enough, even against like a semi transition where we don't really have numbers, but we're just like still moving a little bit faster than that, and they're not really quite set yet.
Yeah,
I mean, Jim Barnett said even semi transition, why not try? You push and see what you get. If you don't like it, then you back it out. But with Steph, push the ball, push the ball. So that's what I got. I mean, pace tonight and Steph overall just means Steph. So that's all. Like Steph better, right? Shit. And who's Kristen Kidd? Who is this person? I don't know who this person is. I've been off social. I haven't been reading. I didn't read it. I completely missed it. People are trying to fill me in, so please, like send me like a DM and explain what the hell happened. Because what the fuck happened?
I'll explain what happened here. Hold on.
Okay. Let me know later. I'll take it off the air, man. All right.
Ozzy, thanks for jumping in. I love Ozzy. You know, just me throwing out tweets as we started at the beginning of the podcast about the Warriors. Look, Sam and I were high on the Warriors coming into the season, and we looked at the early season schedule, and I was higher on them than Sam just because I was trying to have some fun on Twitter. Said they go 9-1. People thought I was crazy. People thought Lightyear's podcast was crazy last season when we said that team wasn't good enough to win. They needed smarter players. You needed to coach Wiseman. Anyway, it goes back to, you know, we aren't afraid to critique the players and the coaching staff if need be. But look, the team this season looks incredible. I think what Ozzy was saying is very, very – we're never going to understand the impact. We haven't created a stat to recognize the impact that Steph on the game yet. I that's such a great way to put it. I believe that so much is we still don't know how good it is. We still don't. The fact that people compare him to just normal point guards in the NBA today shows you that people have no idea how to calibrate how great Steph is. All right. Let's get some more people on. My reception is really killing me. Goodness. Let's get some new people on. All right. Hey, Shane.
Hey, how's it going?
Let's see if you can. There you go. What's up, brother?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey. I was just thinking big picture, just looking at this season so far. I just can't not see how much fucking fun that everyone is having. And I think that it's just been cool to see, like, you look at, like, the Popovich Spurs or, like, the Phil Jackson Bulls and Lakers, and they kind of take on the characteristic of their best player, and like the Warriors are just having so much fun. So I think it's just been so cool to see that Kerr and the coaching staff like left Steph in to get 50 tonight, let the crowd go crazy. And I'm just excited for this season. I don't know if they've had this much fun yet. So it's just going to be a fun rest of the year.
I agree. I mean, this is a team that did it look like they were having fun as much last season? I mean, they had fun last season, but it all kind of starts with Steph, and you saw Steph with frustration enough times last season. Remember the time that he was kind of yelling at those guys when they were down 40 in LA? And that's kind of what we're not seeing this season, right? All right, let's go. All right, let's see who's up next. We got Mason. All right, fingers crossed. Mason.
Yo, what's going on, Andy?
There we go. What's up, brother? What you got for us?
So we're on the Steph train tonight, so might as well keep it going. I mean, honestly, you guys hit on this earlier, but I think Steph is very obviously playing the best basketball of his life, which is honestly saying something, seeing as he's the one unanimous MVP. But I mean, you can talk about his scoring, and like you were talking about earlier, with his, he may be the greatest scorer ever, and this season his defense is taking it to another level, in my opinion. Just seeing his individual defensive ability this season, I think he's taken a step up. So I just want to know, how do you think Steph currently ranks all time, and how do you think he may be able to end if he keeps trending up like he seems to be able to do at his age?
Ooh, okay. All right. Thanks for calling, Mason. All right, we got a Steph all-time question. That's a good one. I think with Steph all-time, I know a lot of people have him in the top 10. I probably have him in that 20 range in terms of impact and what he's done so far in the league. He's pretty unparalleled in terms of what he's done. 3 championships, 2 MVPs, 1 unanimous, the only unanimous. By the way, if this keeps up, not that he scores 50 every night, but if the Warriors end up with a 1-2-3 seed, he's MVP. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. He's the MVP of the league if this keeps up. So all time, I think he needs 2 more titles to be squarely in the top 5, or at least 1 more title, and he's in the top 5. Because think about it this way: he's won a title with him as the leader of the team. He's won the 2 more titles by bringing KD on and those 2 guys leading the team, winning 3 in 5 years. They got a little bit unlucky with, they probably should have at least 4, maybe even 5 titles, but injuries kind of did him in. But if they can win another title with him in the middle of his 30s leading the team, right, with Klay Thompson coming back from injury and Draymond Green pretty much being a one-way type of player, I mean, he's in the top 5 of all time. I never watched Bill Russell play. I don't care. Like, there is no one that has this type of impact offensively. And like Mason is saying, he's amazing defensively now as well. And he's, for a guy that, quote-unquote, people think are terrible, this defense is certainly in the top 5 a lot the last 5, 6, 7 years. So, it doesn't get any better than this. Let's go MJ. Let's see if we can. What's up, MJ? MJ?
Hi. What do y'all think of Steph tonight?
What do you think about Steph tonight?
It was pretty fantastic, yeah. I mean, haven't seen him for so long, like being this great. He has been playing with restriction minutes lately because of the W's after 3rd quarters. And then, yeah. And also pretty shout out to you for the 9-1 prediction before the season started.
Yeah, I think thanks for calling, MJ. By the way, shout out to Chinese people, by the way. Hopefully MJ's calling in for wherever he's calling in. Cheers. I just there's no words to talk about it with Steph. I think another thing to point out too about this game, the rest of the Western Conference look pretty mediocre. If the Warriors are going to look like this, and Steph is going to look as good as this, like he did kind of the last season, 2019. I mean, last season in 2019. I don't want to get too carried away, but this is really, really, really starting to feel like 2014-15. The other thing I want to point out with the Jokic Morris stuff is Morris is notoriously a dirty player. And he ran across the floor in a game that was already over to pretty much hip check Jokic, which was uncalled for. So I find it hard to feel bad for the guy. But Jokic, you can't go blindside hit. I mean, blindside just from come on. Also, Jimmy Butler acting like the tough guy at the end. I mean, if you're gonna do all that, why don't you come up on him when it actually happened? But of course it's not. Jokic is like double his size. All right, let's get to I got all night. I got nothing to do. Let's do some new names. Oh, Elliot, I just had you on, so I'm gonna see if I can try to have you on again, Elliot. My reception is still hanging by a thread.
Yeah, your reception kind of cut out on me last time. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to say, like, this has kind of been, like, the most fun I've had for a regular season game since, like, the 14-15 season. And I was just curious, like, what you think are our realistic title shots for this year, especially with Klay coming back. We don't know what that's going to look like, but I'm trying not to get my hopes up, but it's kind of hard not to.
Look, realistic title shots. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, just you talk about the rest of the league right now. I watched some of the football games this weekend, and I'm just watching the games and I'm sitting here and it's like, does anybody want to win the fucking football? Does anybody want to win the Super Bowl this season? Is Tom Brady going to waltz to his eighth? Right? It kind of feels that way about the NBA right now. It's a long season. It's only been 10 games. They're 9-1. But I watched the Nets tonight, and James Harden looks like someone that, I don't know, did he fucking spend his whole summer at Hustle Prime Rib? I mean, he looks out of shape. He doesn't look like he can move. He's as someone that, I don't know if he works hard or not, but he comes in the season fat all the time, and this is kind of what you're dealing with. They go up against a Bulls team that's kind of upstart, and they get blown out in the fourth quarter. And KD could do all he wants, but shit, man, if Harden's not going to play well, and then you got the Bucks, who's kind of exhausted. They're kind of going through their own stuff, and that's about it for the Eastern Conference that I would say has a chance against the Warriors. You could throw the Heat in there a little bit. I don't think they have enough offense. I think the Warriors have a realistic shot. It does hinge on Klay's health. If Klay's going to come back and he's going to be a shell of himself, it's going to be a hard path forward. But if Klay comes back and by March he looks like 75% of what he did in 2019, yeah, I mean, should be in the NBA Finals, Western Conference Finals at least. Lakers won. That's unfortunate. Let's get some positivity here. Let's get McWalter on. I'm gonna see if I can get through to everyone. Maybe I'll just throw a 2-hour podcast.
Yo, what's up?
What's up, brother?
Hey, man. This is great, despite all the power issues and whatnot.
I heard that everybody's internet is going down. So, not just me.
It's all right. You know, what a win. I just want to shout out to the Discord and all the haters in the first half. You know, you guys are fools. You know, you can never be down and worried about an NBA game unless you're down by more than minutes left. It's a cardinal rule. Come on. And we got freaking Steph on the team. He always blows up in the third. And the Hawks are fucking frauds. They're fucking cunts. They're no good. We saw them. They're awful. They beat a weak-ass Knicks team in the playoffs. They beat a cowardly Philly team in the playoffs, Trista. And then they lost to a team that didn't even have Giannis for half the games. Like, are they really that good? No. They're like the Jazz. They're on my fraud list now.
Right.
I ain't worried about them. And we're so
– I hear you. I had to kick John out there. I appreciate you, McWalter, but we got to watch the language. We just got to. Little out of bounds there. So I appreciate you, brother, but we can't do that. So let's move on to the next speaker. We got a bunch of names. Oh, we finally get a girl. All right, Daniela.
Hi. Hopefully hello.
And here. There we go. What's up?
Hi, Andy Lou. Long time listener, first time caller. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you loud and clear. What's up? Appreciate you.
Okay, so I apologize if someone already asked this because I popped out for a sec. But now that your prediction 9-1 has been fulfilled, what is the new prediction? That's my question.
Ooh, I got to go prophecy twice. You know what? I think the Warriors get to the Western Conference Finals. That's my next prediction. I think this team, just looking at the rest of the league and looking the way that they're playing defense, because with the offense, you always think that if Steph's on the team, they're going to be good enough to win a title. But this defense is getting to a point where you can't – you kind of – if you look at them play Draymond, Andre Iguodala, Juan Toscano-Anderson, and Gary Payton, you could see a top-five defense out there. And even Kevon Looney, actually. Kevon Looney, actually, after the first quarter, looked incredible in the second half. And that's – if you look at that, and this defense has always been the core of this team, even during the Splash Brothers years, if they can get this defense to top five, they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals.
I'm going to agree. I agree. Right. I hope it happens. Thank you.
Thanks, Daniela. It's good to get some women on here. Get some new people on here. All right. Who else do we have? Luke. All right. Let's get Luke on. I do think Western Conference Finals. I really do. Just the Suns looked mediocre. The Denver Nuggets, Jamal Murray's out. Kawhi Leonard's out. Looked like a shell of himself. So I just, the path is there for the Warriors, this team, to make a Western Conference Final. What's up, Luke? What's up, brother?
What's up, man?
What are you doing over there?
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm from Cincinnati, so all my friends are LeBron fans. And it's been a tough ride, but man, I'm riding high. I was just thinking about the bench and how we're like literally just resting our old player, our veteran players, and just in the right moments. Like, we had Iguodala rest of the game, come in, be great. Then we had Otto step out, and we just play him when we need to. And it's just like, this roster is just insane.
Yeah. Look, I think one of the things, by the way, thanks, Luke, for calling in. Also, shout out Joe Burrow. He's doing great for my fantasy team this year. Jamar Chase, amazing. All right, let's do a last one, and let's get out of here. Schick, it's been on for a while. Schick, last one. Send us out.
Hey, can you hear me?
Send us out, brother. What's up, man?
Hey. Yeah, so good game. Wiggins clocked in. Did his usual 9-to-5 business. Steph did his thing. Pulled at his he did his thing in the third quarter. I guess he's kind of mediocre otherwise, but good to see him step up when you need him. But I want to give a shout out to Draymond. His effort and intensity, along with Iguodala, has just been so remarkable this season. I mean, he's so dialed in. And you can tell everyone feeds off of Steph and his joy, but defensively, which is where this team is making its hay right now, it's all Draymond stuff. Hope he keeps it up. Hope he stays healthy.
Low Schick with the Draymond love. I mean, he's been the best defensive player in the NBA so far. All right, guys. We are out of here. I appreciate everyone jumping on. The Warriors are 9-1. Look, I fucking called it. Enjoy. All right, guys.